Hello and thanks for joining us again. My name's Matt Bushby, Head of Distribution at Rare Infrastructure. Last week, we recorded a podcast to keep our investors informed of what's happening in such volatile markets and how we at Rare are responding in terms of portfolio positioning. Today is March the 16th in Sydney, and information in this podcast is as at close of markets Friday the 13th of March. With me is Senior Portfolio Manager Charles Hamey. Since our last recording, we've seen pandemic's been declared, an increase in the shutdowns globally, massive restrictions on travel. Just this morning our time, the Fed announced emergency measures, including the Fed's fund rate to zero and a $700 billion stimulus in terms of additional QE. Last week, very, very sharp sell-off, capped by a very, very sharp rally on Friday. Lots and lots of volatility. Charles, what's the team's latest thinking on the impacts of COVID-19 on the global economy?
I think it could be quite significant. I think it will be quite significant, Matt. The issue has always been the cascading stoppages globally. And we're at the point now where there could be potentially a sudden stop in global economic activity as most countries move to isolate themselves. The duration of that isolation will probably be the main driver of how significant and how deep any economic impact is. And the view may be that no amount of monetary or fiscal stimulus will offset that, certainly not in the short to medium term. So we are concerned about the macro impacts, and policy response, I'd imagine, will be key to tempering that impact, or at least navigating it for some period of time.
So Charles, you just mentioned impacts on the macroeconomic data. You know, at Rare, we have the Investment Advisory Board, which on a quarterly basis establishes the macro variables that feed into our financial models, as well as the economic narrative, which frames some of our positioning and so forth. Have we made any changes to those numbers in the short term yet?
Matt, we're in the process now of going through our IAB, which, as you said, formulates all the economic narrative that are important to us. And that's things like growth, interest rates, inflation, FX, etc. So I can imagine there will be some short-term changes that won't necessarily impact meaningfully the long-term cash flows of these businesses, because they are very resilient businesses. But that said, it may impact to some extent some of the more pragmatic decision-making you make day-to-day when managing portfolios. I think it's very naive to assume that there won't be significant short-term impacts, and probably even more naive to assume that that won't extend into the medium and long-term. So we are very vigilant at the moment.
So fair to say, maybe a little bit more of the top-down influence, bearing in mind what's happening at the moment, than the pure bottom-up?
Well, I think you have to be pragmatic, and you can't ignore the realities of the market we're in. And we're living it day-to-day. We're seeing schools close. We're seeing supermarket shelves being emptied. And that has an impact to how you position your portfolio. Again, as it relates to infrastructure, we're somewhat fortunate because our assets are very long-term in nature, provide an essential service, are often regulated. They are much more resilient and predictable. So we don't imagine any significant cash flow impact for the bulk of our universe. So we are fortunate because the day-to-day movements we're seeing at the micro level shouldn't necessarily translate to impact or cash flow impact at the company level. The more you have sudden economic stops, the more likely that schools start closing globally and the impact that has, and workplaces start moving to work from home and the impact that has on productivity and spending, etc. At some point, there may be some impacts, and we are closely monitoring that. The analysts are assessing it. As part of our process, we run scenario analysis around a base case. So we are aware of the cash flow impacts and how that will impact things like balance sheets and debt and covenants and return to equity, which is more important.
Thanks, Charles. You mentioned there resilient cash flows from infrastructure companies in local currency terms. And I would caution our listeners from markets overseas, your particular currency returns will differ from these numbers depending on FX. But in local terms, global equities have fallen about 18.8% year to date. Infrastructure has outperformed with all of the major indices ahead of this, including the Rare strategies. But it is fair to say that the historic relationships we've seen over long, long periods of time don't seem to be playing out in a really sort of short time frame that we're seeing at the moment. I want to caution against reading too much into this, given, you know, the short, sharp nature of what we're seeing. But, you know, Charles, what do you put, you know, I guess the increase in volatility is what we would expect out of these names down to?
In periods of significant distress in markets, which is primarily liquidity driven, you will see betas of most asset classes revert to one. So infrastructure is no different. No difference to that. We saw it in 2018. We'll see it again. We are seeing it again now. So a lot of it is technical, liquidity driven. But most important thing is how these companies recover. And so when we find that base of markets, when all the negativity is captured in the prevailing share prices, it's how the fundamentals of your companies have been impacted. And that will dictate how quickly you revert back to, you know, back to zero, for use of a better word. And again, the point I made earlier, the beauty of infrastructure, the majority of our universe, there's certainly some sectors which will be impacted, we'll talk about that in a minute, but the majority of our universe provide essential services where there will be little to no impact of cash flow impact of you know, the coronavirus and the impacts that that's had on the economy. So we would imagine at that point, the fundamentals will take over. And, you know, the sector as it has, as it did during the GFC and as it has during most periods of market distress, will quickly revert back to that zero point and start compounding those returns again.
Thanks, Charles. So, you know, very clear at the moment, you know, fundamentals anywhere in the market aren't really being, you know, recognized. Correct. And investors aren't differentiating, you know, between different sectors at the moment. But we would expect that to come to the fore once the indiscriminate selling subsides. Let me ask you a pretty blunt question. You just mentioned that cash flows of infrastructure assets are very unlikely to be impaired. What are the sectors that you're most worried about within our space?
Again, using the word worry a bit loosely, but obviously the airport sector, where there has been a direct impact as it relates to travel restrictions and also people choosing to self-isolate and not travel. If you look at the utilization of most airports now around the world, it's close to zero. So no one's actually flying in or out of airports. And there is an impact. There will be an impact. I mean, they still have to meet their obligations, especially as it relates to their debt obligations. Again, so we are running a whole series of scenarios, assuming that, you know, there's an extended period of low to no revenue and making sure that the companies we invest in can meet their obligations. So that's an immediate impact. We think that, you know, potentially ports and other user pays assets will also have some cash flow impact, some of the toll roads, people work from home, as that free movement of goods, you know, is more restrained in this environment. But obviously airports is the main area. As it relates to the pipeline or the gas sector, there is some counterparty risk we're closely monitoring. We've been through this before. And so we, you know, about 5 years ago where, you know, there was some counterparty risk that emerged. So we have a very clear understanding as it relates to the companies we invest in, where that exposure lies. And it's not significant. So obviously airports is the number one sector where there will be a meaningful impact.
So in terms of airports, Charles, we have approximately 3.5% in each of the value and the income strategies, Sydney and AENA across both value and income, ADP in value, and we also have one of the Mexican airports in the income portfolio. I guess, are there anything that we're doing with those positions other than, you know, the additional scenario analysis on extended shutdowns that the analysts are currently running?
In terms of trading, no. You know, I think your enthusiasm to go out and buy these companies has to be tempered by a whole range of uncertainties. You know, it's sort of, you need to start thinking certainly more about the risk side of the equation and put aside the return part of the equation for the time being. So whilst we do see, you know, significant value, I use that word significant because we're not really sure yet exactly, you know, how long term the impact of this will be. There is some value emerging, or has emerged in many of these companies, but given just how quickly the situation is moving, that really tempers enthusiasm to go in and buy these companies aggressively. That said, you know, if you look at past periods where there's been a significant impact to airport traffic, they've proven to be resilient in the near term, certainly more resilient in the medium to long term. This, I'd imagine, is different because there has been a change to people's behavior, and time will tell how quickly people start behaving normally again, rebooking flights, how quickly businesses start to fly again, etc. But as I said earlier, the real impact is your revenue is falling or maybe going to zero in some cases, yet your obligations, especially your interest payments, persist. And it's marrying that and understanding the impact that the P&L has on the cash flow on the balance sheet. And that's something we do every day. We don't wait for this type of thing to happen. We're constantly monitoring, you know, the strength of our companies as it relates to the balance sheet.
So fairly modest airport exposure.
Yes.
The pipeline sector, you know, we've got approximately 10%, mm-hmm. give or take, in both of those portfolios. Nick Langley last week spent a fair bit of time talking about the impact of sort of lower oil prices mm-hmm. on the revenues. And, you know, you just mentioned it there, you know, very minor counterparty risk with some of the names. I think the figures being bandied about last week were kind of 3-4%. Taking airports and pipelines out, let's talk about the rest of the space, basically the bulk of our portfolios. Mm-hmm. Regulated utilities, you know, electricity, gas, water, yes. and some of the more economically sensitive companies. Now, are these companies still generating revenue?
They do. I mean, and you and I are paying for it as users of the asset, and that doesn't change. So these companies are providing essential service, whether it be a electric utility in the US, a water utility in the UK, or even, you know, a gas utility in Australia. They're providing an essential service and we're paying for it. And that doesn't change. They're regulated businesses where they're growing their asset bases and they're being compensated to make the service available. Whether you're at home or not, that doesn't change. So again, I go back to that point earlier, fundamentally, the companies, the bulk of companies that we invest in or in our universe, are fundamentally very, very strong. And once you have this blow off, for use of a better word, and the market finds its level, and people go back to that fundamental analysis, you know, there's going to be an opportunity to invest in very, or own very, very high quality companies with very resilient, you know, growth and cash flow at probably very attractive valuations. To our listeners, I wouldn't focus too much on the very near term returns. I think that's sort of being driven a lot or entirely by liquidity requirements, by a whole bunch of technical reasons, which aren't relevant as it relates to the fundamentals.
Along the way, obviously, you know, markets have fallen. We would expect the fundamentals to come back into play once this current bout of volatility subsides. Should we be expecting, you know, dividends to be paid along the way, or, you know, broadly across the portfolios, you know, should you expect a change in the income stream that we're currently getting?
The nature of the companies we invest in, the resilience and strength of cash flows will mean that these companies will continue to pay dividends. There may be a couple of companies in our universe where that may be challenged if they're not earning revenue for an extended period of time, particularly the airports. But as it relates to the regulated utilities and the essential service parts of our universe, which is the predominant areas we invest in, the dividend and income stream will persist and continue as it always has. You know, going back to the GFC, going back prior to that, these companies have always been able to maintain their dividend and payout ratios and return income to shareholders.
Last week, one of the points we talked about was, you know, in terms of portfolio positioning, you know, we're effectively trading portfolio names from, you know, names that had held up particularly well during the initial phases of the sell down and rotating into names that had been, you know, in our view, overly sold mm-hmm. At that point. Has that changed? Are we still doing that in the portfolios? Is there anything else we're currently doing in the portfolios?
At the margins, we are. Obviously, last week could be more. I suppose one of the key things to look at is the relative performance. So where possible, if we're able to get access to a company which has potentially underperformed for no apparent reason apart from liquidity, you need to take those opportunities. And we've been doing that at the margins. But again, we're typically fully invested. So it is a bit harder to, you know, move the portfolio aggressively, but at the margins we are, especially as it relates to certain US utilities, which had that period where they really underperformed. And we're able to increase our exposure to some very high quality utilities at very attractive prices.
Can you give some examples, Charles?
Well, AAP in the US is one of the highest quality utilities that we own. And we're able to buy over 100 basis points at about 15% cheaper to where the share price is today. So that's an example of a market being very irrational. And that was funded by selling a position which held up remarkably well, given the nature of its business. So the market at various points will give you those opportunities. But again, in an environment where the markets are down, you know, 15-20%, that does imply that most assets have also fallen 15-20%. So it's becoming harder to do. But the volatility isn't a bad thing. So we're monitoring it closely. and we have a series of stocks that we would like to increase our exposure to. And if the market again allows us to do that, we'll do it.
But no sort of large scale move back into the cyclicals. Again, there's got to be a point at which they look cheap enough, relative to the uncertainty that we've got at the moment. Right now, we're not at that point.
I don't think we're at that point yet. At some point, we'll be close. But at this point, again, because it's, let me rephrase, because you have had very different policy responses around the world, governments have done different things in terms of how they've moved to isolate people, how they're reacting to, to the virus, whether it be the UK, which is a bit of an outlier compared to China, and obviously Australia is somewhere in between. It does make it hard to have a very clear idea of the duration of the impact. I suppose what I would say is that that duration will end at some point. This isn't going to be a 5 year or a 1 year, maybe, but it's, we can see there is a finish line in terms of the impact. But the depth of that impact, I think, is the one issue that is going to become or is going to be difficult to understand. Once we get clarity on that, or once we're comfortable that we can actually value that and price it in either the base case or the series of scenarios, then there will be a time to move back into the cyclicals, especially the airports. I think you're going to be, the market will give you a chance to buy these very high quality airports. ADP owns, Charles de Gaulle Airport, Sydney Airport. We all know how high quality that is. Even some of the emerging market airports, they're very high quality airports which operate in very stable systems of regulation and have both regulated and non-regulated businesses. So in a perfect world, they're very steady state. The revenues are very, very, very predictable. So if you can buy those at very attractive valuations, we will be doing that. We don't think we're there yet. My feel is that we're not far off it.
$700 billion of additional QE announced last night doesn't seem to have been taken too well by
No.
futures markets.
Yes.
I guess two questions: one, why do you think that is? And two, broadly, what are the impacts on our companies, if bond yields are going to be, lower for significantly longer?
I suspect because there is that sense of panic about it, to go so aggressive, so hard, so early, to cut rates to zero, to announce a massive expansion of their buying program, the credit lines and the swap lines, the US dollar swap lines. There really isn't much left they can do apart from go negative rates. So I suppose the fear is that if this doesn't work in terms of stabilizing markets or economies, what's left? What's left? There is a few things they can do. We won't go into them for the purposes of this podcast, but you are at that point now where, and we've been saying it for a while, where the effectiveness of each additional dollar of monetary policy is really diminishing, really, really diminishing. And we've seen it in Japan now for the last 10 years or last 20 years, I would say. And I don't think any other developed market's going to be any different. And fiscal response will have to follow by governments. And in Australia, we've seen some elements of it. In the US, we've seen some bits of it, but that's why I'd imagine, futures have come off so quickly. But, at the end of the day, we'll see where the market. There'll be massive volatility, Matt. I think that's the one thing we should stress. There's going to be a lot of volatility. Investors shouldn't be too worried about it. I think it'd be the worst time to be selling. It's probably the best time just to sit back and reflect and understand that the companies that we invest in will emerge fundamentally no different. Some will be challenged, the airports in particular, but the bulk will emerge no different. And that's going to be a really good base to start that return compounding again. The nature of the asset classes we invest in, being absolute return focused. So the companies, if you think about it, a utility and think about how it earns its return, there's an absolute nature to it. So whether it's a US utility with a nominal ROE of, 9-10%, whether it's a utility in the UK or Australia, where they reference prevailing costs of capital that allow you to outperform the various metrics. Most of the utilities we invest in are delivering investors a nominal return on equity of between 7-10%, for the next 5 years. So if you can achieve that in an environment where rates are going to be anchored at very low levels for a very long period of time, that's a really strong tailwind, a very strong tailwind. This renewed bout of quantitative easing by the Federal Reserve and global central banks, again, it goes back to something we've been saying for a while, which rates will not go up in the imminent future, probably in the medium term. They're going to be anchored at very low levels or negative for an extended period of time. So if you're an investor looking for a resilient, predictable return, or a dividend which is growing above inflation, then there really isn't many better asset classes than infrastructure. And again, that's what I want to stress to listeners, that that's how this sector will emerge. The volatility, you know, it is scary for investors, and it's challenging for portfolio managers. But we've seen it before. Once this period of volatility comes and goes, duration of which I'm not sure, you know, the asset class is probably uniquely and best positioned to start that process of wealth creation again. And that's important for investors to know.
So key points that I've just taken from this discussion. We've seen a range of extraordinary measures put in place mm-hmm. over the last week. The lockdowns, and you know, that will have a sharp impact on economic activity. How deep is unknown? How long is unknown? Obviously, equity markets have begun to really factor that in with the sell-offs that we've seen in the last few weeks. Fundamentals don't seem to matter at the moment. The market's sort of assuming the worst. In the listed space that we're in, stock prices are down quite significantly. In the unlisted space, arguably, these impacts haven't yet started mm-hmm. to flow through to valuations. But look, at some point, fundamentals will matter again, mm-hmm. and we would expect infrastructure to perform well in that environment, especially with yields anchored at low levels. Until then, we don't expect material impacts to the underlying cash flows of our businesses. And therefore, they should be able to pay their attractive levels of dividends, and effectively, investors will get paid to wait for the market to reflect those fundamentals once again.
That's perfect. I think I'm more confident of that outcome in terms of the resilience of our companies than most other things in this environment. And I think that's important. You know, as portfolio managers, we're investing in very high quality companies, and the reason you invest in infrastructure is to give you that downside protection, to give you that resilience and upside capture where markets are normal. And we'll get back to normal. But I'm not sure when, but we'll get back to normal. When we do, you know, the really attractive features of the asset class will be there again.
Joss Hamey, thanks very much. To our listeners, thanks for your time. We'll continue to record these podcasts through this unprecedented volatility, and be speaking to you again shortly.
Thank you.